This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are back. We're headed to Dallas to check in with Chris Kerber, who will be on the call tonight. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
Doing good, Frank. How are you?
Very good. I don't think we know as of right now, but who would you anticipate being in goal tonight?
It looks like it's going to be Jordan Binnington in goal tonight, and that makes some sense because with another set of back-to-backs, I think if you went the other way, you probably had Jake playing the extra ones on the weekend. So I think this one gives them the most amount of flexibility, and from what we can tell and from what I've seen, it looks like the same exact lineup for the Blues.
And then you anticipate Jake on Saturday and then back to Jordan on Sunday?
You know what? Not necessarily. I could see Jordan going these next two and then Jake on Sunday. Jake, of course, having played well in Minnesota, over his career, too. So that one's a little hard to predict. I think a lot of that could be based on the type of game that happens tonight. You know, I thought it was a pretty hard game for Binnington in the last game, the types of chances that the other team got, that Toronto got, and how they played it. So my guess is that's going to go all based on fatigue level.
Chris, the moral to the story is if you want to go on some long point streak, then get on Ryan O'Reilly's line. He did it for Perron, and then he did it for Vladimir Tarasenko. How about a thought on him? You observed him. You see him in practice all the time. Just give us a little insight.
Well, I think that the work ethic that he brings to the rink every single day has rubbed off on guys. And when you end up, especially if you were not on his line from the very beginning of the year, and you're Vladimir Tarasenko or you're Braden Schenn, and you all of a sudden end up on that line, you've got to match him, you know, stride for stride, skeet for skeet, puck for puck, because if not, you're letting him down. And so, honestly, Frank, I think it's, you know, kind of internal accountability, because the guy has just been playing that well that you've got to elevate your game to do it. It's been a while since I think we could say that we've had a player on this team that is making some other guys around him better, and he fits that bill very easily.
When is the last time, and you would probably know this better than anybody, but for a significant period of time that the Blues just trotted out their three best players, without a doubt, on the same line?
I tell you, I'd have to go back and really think about that one, because a lot of times teams try to spread that wealth a little bit. Last year, you might be able to say they did it with Schenn, Schwartz, and Tarasenko for a stretch. So maybe not as far fetched as we think, but it's one of those things where the best part is when Toronto had to key in on them in that last game. That left some matchups open up for Bozak and for Schwartz, and they were able to take advantage of it. And that was a huge key. So, and I think they're obviously going to stick with those same lines tonight.
There was a moment on Tuesday night where I think it was Dunn who had the turnover late in the first period in the final seconds. It didn't amount to anything, and the Blues went into the locker room 2-0. But there was a shot of Coach Berube, and he was just steaming angry. It says something about accountability and attention to detail. Can you kind of elaborate on that? I know it wasn't a big deal in the game, but just a thought.
Well, Joey Vitale went in the locker room a couple days ago, and he told this story on the air last game. He went to a couple of players and said, okay, we always talk about accountability on the air, but what has it meant to you guys? And I think it was Tyler Bozak that told him, look, Berube doesn't care who you are, what you're doing. If you're not doing it right, he's on you. He goes, there was and it might have been the previous game. It was like three shifts in a row we turned things, we were turning the puck over. And he lit everybody up on the bench that had touched that puck. He goes, and that included number 91. You know, that included Tarasenko. I think there was a play last game where after a kind of a soft chip on the backhand off the glass by Alex Pietrangelo, he went down the bench, and if I'm not mistaken, Alex Pietrangelo ended up not out with Joel Edmondson on the next shift. He did a little juggling, for a couple of shifts there. He's holding guys accountable. He's pulling back ice time. He's barking at them on the bench. He's making sure they do the things. And you know, that are working. And right now it's flying with this team. So by doing that, and, you know, go back, I think it was the New Jersey game when the Blues had that big lead, he was still barking at guys on the bench if they weren't doing so, just to make sure that bad habits don't creep in. He's been, and the other thing, though, is he's been consistent and he's been fair. He hasn't been over the top. He doesn't make it personal. He just explains to everybody what he expects from them and the job they expect them to do, and they're responding to it.
Kelly Chase said the other day, your former partner, he said Berube will be hot property here or elsewhere in the offseason. What do you think?
I'd agree with him. I think, you know, whether it's here or somewhere else, with the number of opportunities. I mean, look at the NHL right now, Frank, and I frankly, this summer could be an extremely a hot summer in terms of coaching spots. You've got, what, four interim coaches right now in the National Hockey League. You've got one in L.A. You've got one in St. Louis. You've got one in Philadelphia. And then Ken Hitchcock was a coach just for the end of the year as well. And you've got those scenarios. So somebody has to fill them. In the meantime, you've got guys like Quenneville that's, you know, that could get signed. Elaine Vigneault, Dave Tippett. You've got some pretty established good coaches that are not signed right now by teams, although I think Tippett's aligned himself pretty much in with Seattle, and I don't think he intends to coach at this point. But, you know, the reality of it is you've got those opportunities, and if the Blues were to go a different route and not sign Berube, I think you add Berube to a list of someone that's going to get a lot of attention because of what he's done here. And if this continues, a guy that's, I would think, in all likelihood, ends up a Jack Adams finalist.
Oh, so you believe he does have a great chance to be in that final three?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, if I had to make the list right now, if the season ended today, to me, the list would consist of John Cooper, Barry Trotz, and Craig Berube. So, look, if the St. Louis Blues finish in the top three in the Central Division, and especially if they really keep the heat on Nashville, which they can do, being just 6 points behind them with the three games in hand and a head-to-head game coming up, I think you'd have to put him in there considering where this team was and what they're doing now.
I know it's the last thing on Doug Armstrong's mind right now, but let me give you this scenario. Let's just say they do finish strong and win a couple of rounds in the postseason, but Joel Quenneville wants to be your coach. That'd be an awfully tough decision, wouldn't it?
Yes and no. Yes, because of the resume, who he is, what it would mean, and everything. I would. If Craig Berube gets this team into the playoffs and they win a couple rounds, I don't know how you don't give him the job, you know, but other than it being that tough of a decision. I would think at that point there's only one guy you would give the job to, and that could be Quenneville. At the same time, what you're looking for and what you're watching is just how this team is responding to him, how he's coaching, how they're making the adjustments. You know, and sometimes it's not just wins and losses, Frank. There are things you're looking for. Is there sharpness on the line changes? How many too many men on the ice penalties? You know, things along those kind of lines. You know, certain situations, does he shorten the bench? How is he managing the game? And those are little nuances, you know, but like you just mentioned, you know, a turnover by Dunn, even with 2 seconds to go in a period, up by two, and he's barking at the guy. Paying attention to those kind of details is going to be a big difference. You know, Doug Armstrong said on a podcast that he did, I think, with Pierre LeBrun for The Athletic, they asked him about Craig Berube. Now, when I interview him, I don't say we're talking to interim head coach. I say head coach. I don't understand the interim head coach thing if a guy's going to be with you the rest of the year. You basically give him a job, you know, on a one-year contract. So, but the way I look at it, Pierre LeBrun asked him, you know, what do you think he's going to do? And Doug Armstrong told Pierre, he goes, well, I can tell you one thing. He goes, he's definitely made the list a heck of a lot shorter than it could have been. So he didn't commit completely, but he definitely said that the success he's having is eliminating other people from the discussion.
One final thought. Can you remember many Tuesday night regular season games with that kind of atmosphere?
No, that was awesome. I mean, I know, you know, we had a pretty good run there for a little while, but that one was just the hype of the crowd, the way they were. Of course, we always seem to draw well when you play the Maple Leafs. You had some of the old Norris division history to it. That atmosphere was spectacular. And I think it's going to be equally as good, if not even better, on Saturday. There are some tickets remaining for it, but I suggest fans get on stlouisblues.com/tickets and and line them up pretty quick, because that's a 3 o'clock afternoon game against Boston. I mean, the crowds have been fantastic, as you know. And how about, I mean, even the ratings, Frank, for that NBC game the other day, were a 7.7. A 7.7 on a Tuesday night, you know, on NBC Sports Network. I mean, the fans are into it. The fans are watching. And let's see if we tonight. I mean, this is a huge game here tonight, Frank. And you get a victory here, and you could push yourself to 8 points ahead of the Dallas Stars versus them pulling to within 4. I mean, that's a huge 4-point swing, not only just in the standings, but trying to keep the winning streak going.
Great stuff. Curbs will be listening. Thank you, sir.
All right, Frank, have a great day today. Talk to you later.
Great. Chris Kerber joining us for some real good Blues analysis as the Blues prep for the Dallas Stars. And that was brought to you by the locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry, PetroMart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza, fresh fruit, and Jim Powers' favorite, salad. PetroMart has something for everybody and is always prepared fresh and available around the clock. It's amazing. Jim is here. I thought he'd be working out, and maybe he's already had a salad. But we're thrilled to be here at beautiful Maryville University. We'll be joined by Lonnie Folks and Mark Stricko a little bit later, and I think Bill DeWitt III. Martin will join us when we come back. We'll be right back.